And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice. Hello and welcome to our program, Lifestyle Improvement, your caregiver support program with ideas and hopefully helpful information that can help you better manage the stressors of everyday life. I am your host and fellow caregiver, Rebecca. So for all of you avid gardeners out there, I have some good news that is going to make your day. So stay tuned for more information on how to achieve lifestyle improvement while gardening.
A unique and specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuka Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified Nuka practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50-point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how Nuka Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
Thank you for coming back to listen to Lifestyle Improvement. So for all of you avid gardeners, I am sure that you can't wait until the time when you can put some seeds in the soil and start eating the results of your hard labor. But for those of you new to gardening, but that may be considering doing gardening this year, keep listening, because you may just hear something today that may convince you to get started. Now, everyone knows that one of the benefits of gardening is not just organic vegetables and or fruits that taste good, but also working outside feels great on a nice spring day, especially after being indoors during a long and cold winter. In addition, how about all that oxygen that you breathe as you increase your physical activity? And all the smells of nature and the sounds of birds singing outside? All that sensory information that makes gardening so unique. But did you know that in addition, there is research that shows that gardening actually affects your health in very specific positive ways? So this last week, I decided to explore some of the information about this subject so I could bring it to you. And I found information on the American Horticultural Therapy Association that was extremely interesting to me. And I contacted them and had the pleasure to speak to the administrator, her name was Martha, that spent some time explaining to me what this field is all about. Better yet, she put me in contact with one of their educators, her name is Patty Cassidy, who agreed to come today and join us via Skype from Portland, Oregon. She's been kind enough to agree to discuss with us how gardening and how the field of horticultural therapy is helping people from all around the world improve their health. And better yet, they have strong data to support that gardening can help you manage stress better. So we're going to take a break right now, but you'll want to stay tuned, because when we come back, you'll have a chance to hear our conversation with Patty Cassidy on lifestyle improvement.
A unique and specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuka Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified Nuka practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50-point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how Nuka Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com www.thedrwashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
This is your host, Rebecca, and we're having a conversation with Patty Cassidy. Patty is a registered horticultural therapist, and she's also a master gardener and an author of the book, Gardening for Seniors. In her website, Patty summarizes the work she does with senior clients as, and I quote, gardening for wellness. And again, from her website, she states that her program is based in a simple philosophy, namely that spending time in the garden, viewing natural settings, and participating in plant activities are all ways of nurturing and restoring one's emotional and physical well-being. So I'm very glad to be able to introduce to you Patty Cassidy. Hello, Patty. How are you?
I'm fine, Rebecca. Thank you so much for asking me to be on your show.
Well, thank you for coming to join us and taking the time to explain to us a little bit more about the field of horticultural therapy. So I know that probably a lot of the people listening to this program right now may not have ever heard anything about this field, and I would like us to have you explain to us, what is horticultural therapy?
Horticultural therapy is a treatment modality that is conducted by a trained professional, much like a occupational therapist, physical therapist, music therapist would be working with their participants. Horticultural therapists have training to help people achieve their certain goals and to help them heal in ways where they need help. We focus on the social, cognitive, physical, psychological, and spiritual well-being of participants. And we do this in ways where we assess their needs, assess where they are, and work with them to decide on a treatment plan and then what goals we're trying to reach for them.
So you address medical issues like other therapeutic professions out there, correct?
That's exactly what I'm saying. We use evidence-based research to support what we do, and we are well-trained in dealing with populations that have that span a wide range of issues that they have in their lives. So much like a therapist who might be dealing with an assortment of needs for a person. That's what horticultural therapists do. However, we use horticulture as our medium, and it's the people-plant relationship that helps us help people realize that their healing and their improvement and well-being.
So what kind of training does one have to go through in order to become a horticultural therapist?
To become a horticultural therapist, you need to begin with a bachelor's degree. So you need to have a four-year degree in some discipline. If you want to pursue the highest level of being a registered horticultural therapist, you must take a requisite amount of courses in human services, which would be psychology, human development, informing the therapist about how people function and what people's needs are. Secondarily, you then need training in horticulture. So we need to know about plant propagation, pest management, plant ID. So there's many courses that you have to take in conjunction with your human services. Then you need to do an internship of 480 hours where you're supervised by a registered horticultural therapist. You do a long and short-term project in the population of your choice. And then you are reviewed by a peer group to see if everything you've done, your credentials, your evaluation from your supervisor at your internship site, meet the qualifications to be what we call a registered horticultural therapist. And that's the highest form of recognition in our profession.
Okay, great. So where can one find a horticultural therapist?
Well, it's interesting. You and I happen to live in the region of the country that has one of the strongest concentrations of horticultural therapists.
Northwest.
The Northwest, yes. But all over the country, wherever there is a trained horticultural therapist, we will be working with all ages, from children to obviously elders, Alzheimer's and dementia patients, but all in between, corrections, drug and alcohol, abused women, veterans, wherever people are in need of help and healing, a horticultural therapist can be very important in their lives.
So this field is actually not new. It has been active for about 40 years, correct?
That's correct. We just celebrated our 40th anniversary.
So I'm really surprised that more people don't know about this field.
We are surprised too, and that's why this opportunity is wonderful, because it allows me to let people know that we are a viable and vital group in the community, and we can work with many, many populations.
So there's actually a lot of research that I came across that relates stress reduction with gardening. Is that correct?
We have a large body of research that has shown that people who are engaged in horticultural activities, who spend time in nature, who are engaged with living things such as plants, even pets, there's quite a bit on pet therapy, but plants, growing things, working together on growing things, has great effect on physiological functions. So working on if somebody has a lot of stress because of their job or their caregiving responsibilities, getting them involved in a horticultural program with a trained horticultural therapist can teach them skills that they can then use when they are alone to help do their own stress monitoring and reduction.
So one specific research that I came across was done by Washington State University, and it was on interior plants and how they may improve the productivity of people. And in this research, they actually were trying to see the difference between the performance of workers that were in an environment that had plants and another one that did not have plants. And they had very significant findings. And one of the findings suggested that the people that were in the presence of plants had actually a decrease in blood pressure.
So that's a great type of research to cite, Rebecca, because the seminal research that really has spurred on the idea of people viewing nature comes from Roger Ulrich, who did a study on people who had their gallbladders out. And he looked at the people who were in the recovery room, who looked out of a window and looked at the brick wall, perhaps the air conditioning system or the fire escape, versus those who looked out of a window in the recovery room and looked at a picture of nature, for example, a tree, the park, a flower. And time and again, the people who were viewing a scene of nature recovered faster, used less painkillers, had fewer complaints by the nurses, and were released from the hospital earlier. This research has been replicated many, many, many times, and it began to make sense to hospitals that if we have nature settings or plants in rooms or pictures of nature, perhaps we can reduce the stay in the hospital, thus reducing hospital costs. And then it became a kind of a healthcare crusade to let's get more nature in hospitals and make them less sterile and more like what you see at home when you're recovering. So those studies now have been broadened to look at people who sit in gardens for an amount of time. There's interesting research going on in Japan now where people are walking in forests, and it's called forest bathing. And the amount of time that they spend in the forest breathing in the air and the particular oils that the trees are giving to them, when they finish that walk, their Cortisol levels are checked, which are much lower, proving that their stress is less, their blood pressure is less. And so there's more and more research now looking at how nature and plants and that interaction is really benefiting our health.
So if we're asking for some free advice, why would you tell someone that is having some health issues because of the stress in their life? What are some things that you would initially recommend?
So this is very general, not knowing the person's particular needs, but I would absolutely recommend that they spend at least 15 minutes outside walking, being in the sun, breathing fresh air. Even if it's raining or overcast, they should be outside where they are just in a different environment and in an area where there's green, because I feel like looking at green is very calming, and there's studies about how color affects your emotions, and green and blues actually are very calming and very restorative. So seeking a place that provides those kind of visuals. I also think caring for a plant and that is not so needy, but you know, just pick a healthy plant that a caregiver can do the basic maintenance on is uplifting, because plants are not judgmental and they don't judge. And so that interaction with a plant can be just allowing some neutrality with a living thing that you may not have when you're doing care with somebody who's acutely ill.
This is your host, Rebecca. And now we'll take a short break, but stay tuned for more with Patty Cassidy in Lifestyle Improvement. Welcome back for more of our conversation with Patty Cassidy in Lifestyle Improvement. Patty, how about somebody that's caring for somebody that's ill? What would you say? What would be one of your recommendations for them?
You know, a person who's caring for somebody who's acutely ill, and maybe they need more time in the garden. Another way of handling emotions would be finding things that you like to smell. I mean, I find smelling rosemary very calming and very refreshing, and a little bit of that helps me. Peppermint is another way of getting your olfactory kind of reorganized. So for some people, their sense of smell is a way of doing some self-healing. If I was working with a client, I would try a caregiver client. I would try to assess which one of their senses is most important to them. It may be drinking lavender tea is a calming, and lavender is known to be a very calming herb. So a horticultural therapist can do that with their training. They can assess a person's needs, help them refine what areas are going to work most for them, and then come up with a plan for them.
So I remember seeing another study this past week that I found in the International Society for Horticultural Science, And this particular study was the effects of potted plants on human physiology and emotional status. And they actually had a study of the brain waves, the reaction of the brain waves of subjects in relationship to when they saw flowers with, plants with flowers or plants without flowers.
Interesting.
And they found in this particular study that the results of this particular study suggested that activities with plants promoted physiology relaxation, or in other words, working with flowering plants appeared to have a stronger positive effect on human emotions than non-flowering plants. And I wonder if that's why, that's because when we see flowers, that really appeals to our visual senses. What do you think?
I think very much that could be a factor. And I also think that in a very primitive way, we're very wired to look at flowers. Flowers for many people were a source of food. So flowers, I think, have some primeval attraction to human beings that we, that would be a great research study to find out why, really why flowers are so attractive to people.
So I know you've done a lot of work with elderly population, specifically with the Alzheimer's population. What do you have to share with us about that?
People with Alzheimer's have, obviously memories that don't really go back to what, an hour maybe before they see me. But when I see them and talk about their past gardens, or I bring in plants that they might have had in their yards, there is an immediate recognition and recall about that. And often you will get them talking about memories and reminiscences that they haven't unearthed for a long time. So that's always very, it's very endearing, and you can see that it's very rewarding to them that they can talk about something that is meaningful to them and that they remember. I also have a wonderful opportunity in Portland working in the Portland Memory Garden, which is a garden designed for people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And we do horticultural therapy sessions in the garden with people with Alzheimer's. And you can see the difference when they get out of the bus and they're sort of tired and weary from the bus ride. And we wheel them into the garden and start working with the plants. And there's just their affect, their energy, their socialization, all just expand for the hour and a half that they're in the garden. And so you really can see how plants and being in nature and having that natural environment it really affects them in ways that you don't see when they're sitting in the community watching TV or sitting in the hallway just kind of drowsing off. Getting them in nature, they're alert, they're attentive, they're involved, they're in the moment, which for them is, very important.
Okay, so when they go through this experience, are they just walking around and just kind of enjoying the environment and absorbing the sensory information, or are they actually becoming involved into, are actually doing the activity of gardening itself? How involved are they in this activity?
Right, that's a great question, Rebecca. Most of the people who visit the garden are fairly physically frail, and so having them garden in the beds is not practical. But I may cut a lot of lavender and have them pick different lavender stems and collect them and tie them in a ribbon. And so they might be manipulating some of the materials, but they're not actually gardening. But definitely, we seek to enliven their senses as much as we can with the plant material and And we make sure that we have the right things growing in the garden so that every sense can be alerted, even sound. We even have plants that can make sounds.
Plants that can make a sound? Tell me a little bit more about that. That's really interesting. And don't forget to join us again next week for part two of our interview with Patty Cassidy at Lifestyle Improvement.
For more information on the Horticultural Therapy Association, please visit ahta.org, or you can visit Patty Cassidy's website at pattycassidy.com. That is PattyCassidy.com.
And if you would like to advertise with us, give us a call at 877-957-7387, extension 101. That again is 877-957-7387, extension 101. Or send us an email to producer@lifestyleimprovement.com. That again is producer@lifestyleimprovement.com.
And join us again next Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8 for more tips on lifestyle improvement.